In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Advent is good for us. It reveals something extremely important. The color blue in our pyramids revealed the truth of cold hearts, resistant to God's goodness, love, mercy, and truth. But also, the color blue indicates the hope of a coming king. Today we hear of a king who came 2,000 years ago, and we have hope that this king will come again in glory. But his glory is different. Normal kings demonstrate their power and might and glory by force and takeover against one's will. But not this king. King Jesus rode humbly. He came to usher in his kingdom, mounted not on a war horse, but on a donkey. He didn't storm Jerusalem with a sea of soldiers, but with 12 cowardly disciples. Yet this was according to his plan. As Psalm 33 prophesies, the king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation. And by its great might, it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hold hope in his steadfast love. The king rode into Jerusalem, where his death was plotted for him. But he continued on, with eyes set in obedience to his heavenly Father. Even though this move ensured his death, he did it to establish a kingdom for his people, a kingdom of grace and mercy and forgiveness. His kingdom contrasts with the earthly kingdoms, for his is not of this world. The subjects of his kingdom have to die with him so that they can be raised back to new life. Though this story of a humbled king riding on a donkey sounds ordinary, it's anything but. Because this king knew what awaited him. Yes, his coronation ceremony was just on the horizon, but this joyful parade quickly turned into an outright rebellion. The shouts of Hosanna, which means save us now, quickly turned into shrieks of crucify him. This king doesn't have a jeweled crown and an armed guard to manipulate his people in doing what he wants. His crown doesn't appear glorious, rather, his crown causes suffering and pain. This king was nailed to the cross as a murderer and blasphemer. The king of righteousness was numbered with sinners, naked and shamed for all the world to see. Though the shame they saw wasn't Jesus's, the shame was our own. You see, the King of creation came to restore creation and bring them into a right relationship with the Father in heaven. Yet mankind ignored the King and put him to death. Ironically, King Jesus shows strength from his weakness. The righteous king died an unrighteous person's death. And out of love for the world, this king exchanges his righteousness for all mankind's sin, so that we may enter into his kingdom by the gift of his righteousness to us. Because only with his righteousness can we live. Jesus came on a donkey 2,000 years ago for this reason: to establish his kingdom through the cross and win mankind back to himself. Yet this king will come back again. He will come to usher his righteous people into the everlasting heavenly kingdom. And as we will hear more next week, Jesus' second coming isn't always described as baby Jesus, meek and mild. Rather, King Jesus will return to judge between the righteous and the unrighteous. Though this saving righteousness is not our own, it belongs to his people by repentance and faith. The impenitent unbeliever does not belong to this kingdom. And this is what the king warns. This is why Advent is good and extremely important. It's a season of repentance which prepares us specifically for his second coming. Because King Jesus can't come back to a mess. And how do we make a mess out of our lives? We make messes when we work in league with the wrong king. Satan is the wrong king, the king of darkness. All he wants is for you to reject King Jesus, reject his ways, reject his mercy, reject his transformative grace and the regeneration of baptism and the active work of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to embrace darkness instead of light. He wants you to fulfill your pleasures and hate pleasing God. He wants you to engage in sexual immorality and drunkenness, quarreling and jealousy, because these things keep your eyes off King Jesus. They keep your heart away from repentance and a true reception of his free righteousness in a transformed life lived by faith. Satan is deceptive with false promises of life. And by the nature of living in our flesh, our desire to live in these things is strong. It's hard to resist. And so we try to justify our lives of sin by downplaying the severity of our sins. Jesus, being a good king, cannot let this stand. This is why Jesus came. He's come to kill you and make you alive. That is what your baptism means. Your sins have died with Christ on the cross, and you've been resurrected to a new life with Christ. The death of the sinner is the only way for this king to claim you as his own. Those spiritual disciplines are good for a Christian. Advent isn't a time for the Christian to clean up one's external actions. That's the game plan of the Pharisees. They'd rather clean up their actions instead of their heart. So where do we start? How do we prepare? Perhaps that's a trick question. We've gotten ourselves into this predicament. We cannot get ourselves out of it. The King must come to get us out of our bondage to sin. This is what Jesus accomplished in his first coming. Now that we're freed by his merits, King Jesus gives you new orders to prepare for his second coming. Die to yourself and live to him. That is to say, live according to your baptism, where God killed you and raised you up in the new life of his Son. His righteousness is the only means by which you have life. Though giving up who you once were and the passions of the flesh is hard, it's necessary. For the King is coming. He even meets us in our preparation to meet him as we receive the fruit of his coronation and kingdom in the Eucharist, where he strengthens and nourishes our lives of faith. This is what Advent is all about. It's not really about preparing for baby Jesus on Christmas Day. It's about preparing for King Jesus on the last day. For then, he will take a kingdom of people made righteous by his blood through faith and give them life forever. Let us receive him now as he comes to us in word and sacrament. And let us praise his coming with these words. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.